Hello and welcome to episode 181 of the Bronx Beat Podcast, presented by Baseball Prospectus. I am EJ Fagan. Tonight I am joined by Dr. Paul Semendinger.
Hello, EJ. How are you?
And Baseball Prospectus staff writer, I think we can say that, Derek Albin.
Hey, EJ, you could say that about yourself, too, though.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's been fun to write for the main BP page lately, and hopefully we'll have some news about that in regards to this podcast pretty soon. If anyone missed it last week, I interviewed Jarrett Seidler on the top 10 Yankee prospects, and I thought that was an excellent episode. Jarrett not only went into a lot of detail about some of these new Yankee prospects that I'd never heard of, but also we talked a little bit just about the minor leagues in general, about what life is like in the GCL, that kind of stuff. It's one of our better episodes. I highly recommend it. If you have not listened to it, go back and listen to it. You're not missing anything by waiting a week on it.
Yeah, I got to say, actually, if you don't mind me interrupting, that was a great episode. I really enjoyed it, listening to it last week. There's a lot of prospects in the system that you just, like, don't know anything about because they're so far away, but you guys really drew out some interesting stuff about them.
And you can ignore them when they're, like, the number 20 prospect in the system, but when all of a sudden, you know, some guy you've never heard of is the number 3 prospect, you got to call the expert in.
Right.
And that way we can kind of pay attention to this next generation, which should be a lot of fun. It's a lot of good news in the Yankee farm system. To the point that's almost not fair. Jarrett talks about how some of the players the Yankees got in trades that where they shouldn't have gotten any kind of good player, like when they were going to lose Jake Cave to the to waivers, and then they traded him to Minnesota, and then that's the number 7 Yankee prospect in a deep system. Highly recommend that. Everybody should listen to that. That's not the discussion for today. Today is a different Baseball Prospectus discussion. We're going to talk about Pecota, which is the Baseball Prospectus player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm prediction engine. It makes statistical predictions for Major League Baseball players. It was developed by the used to be less famous Nate Silver back about 15 years ago. It makes statistical projections based upon the similarity of players to past players for the coming season. I think it still is by far the most accurate of the projection systems. So you've seen Steamer, you've seen Zips, you've seen a bunch of projection systems out there. I believe Pecota is still number 1 by a mile, though I could be wrong about that. Derek, you're right. You're in the middle of a project right now, talking about kind of some of the changes that Pecota's undergone. Can you just explain what's the difference between it and these other systems?
So one of the big things, and there's a recent update, I guess a couple of months ago, when Baseball Prospectus started rolling out DRC Plus, which is the new hitting metric that's used in the site, which is now implemented into the WARP calculations, which in turn is also used in Pecota. It used to use true average. That was the hitting statistic of choice. But true average was more of a sum of here's what happened, here are the results. DRC Plus is trying to get more at what did this player deserve or what could we have expected him to contribute. It's another way of trying to figure out how good a player truly is, trying to figure out, hey, you know, did this guy really deserve to hit 300 that year or something like that. It's another way of finding out how to be a little bit more accurate and precise with how good a player is rather than just relying on the results. Because let's take, for instance, a guy who, I don't know, let's just, Brady Anderson's the first guy to come to my mind. He hit 50 home runs that one year in the 90s. You know, I'm sure if he went and looked at all of his hitting metrics, they would love him. My assumption would be that DRC Plus would be a little bit less bullish on him just because, you know, this is Brady Anderson we're talking about. He's not a home run hitter. And that's just one example. It's just trying to get to the core point of how good is that player is. And the nice thing about it for Pecota is you're trying to figure out in a projection how good a player is as well. And I think DRC Plus just does a better job of that in general than other hitting metrics.
Yeah, so if people are interested, we did an episode on DRC Plus a few months ago. It's really good. I highly recommend you listen to it. We kind of dissected how DRC Plus works and kind of went into some of those differences. But I think the core thing to know is that it's just more predictive than other statistics, which means that when it comes time to predict the future, it will be more accurate. And so this has almost certainly improved the Pecota predictions that we can expect. And we're going to go through some of those for the Yankees right now. We're going to do little over-unders on this Pecota projections. And I want to start Paul off The Yankees are projected as a team to win 95 games next year. They're projected to have the best offense tied with the Houston Astros in the American League. However, they're pretty close in offense to the Red Sox, but they're projected to have a much better pitching staff than the Red Sox, who are projected at 89 wins. So, Paul, I want to ask you to buy or sell, or I'm sorry, not buy or sell. What, I'm going to be going back and forth on this all night, to an over-under on a 6-win difference between the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Wow, that's tough. I'm going to say under. I don't think the Yankees are 6 games better than the Red Sox at this moment.
So you think that the Red Sox are better than 89 wins?
Yes.
Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. The Red Sox, I think, are probably a mid-90s win team again. You know, they're not going to win 108 like they did last year, but 89 seems a little low to me. They're too good for that, even though they didn't really do much this offseason.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of their pitching staff. I mean, they have Chris Sale and not a lot behind him at the moment. You know, if David Price and Nathan Eovaldi and those guys end up being really good, you could see them, you know, getting back, you know, above 100-plus wins again. But you could also see, I think, an underrated chance of like a complete collapse in their hitting staff.
Their big problem is their bullpen. I mean, they lost Joe Kelly, which I know is kind of funny. It sounds funny, but he was good last year. And Craig Kimbrell, it sounds like, I mean, who knows where he's going. There's been very few rumors about him, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be back at the Red Sox. And their bullpen looks a little shaky. So.
Yeah, and especially, and that's really the big difference compared to the Yankees. We're going to get to that in a second. Pecota thinks that the Red Sox have a great hitting lineup. They think Mookie Betts is the second best player in the game. So it's not, you know, they're not being cheap on the Red Sox, but they are. Pecota is really bullish on the Yankees. 95 wins. I want to get to some of the individual players, but before I want to do that, I just want to do a quick statistical lesson here. Pecota heavily regresses player performance to the mean. That means that it assumes that most players who are performing well above average will perform more average in future performance. Same for players that are performing well below average. And so it will always underrate the truly exceptional players. So any Hall of Famer would have had more pessimistic Pecota projections than their actual performance. The reason why is because Hall of Famers aren't typical. You have to project every player knowing that they're typical and that there's a good chance that they'll come back. And so in order to convince Pecota that you're going to be a 7, 8, 9-win player, you got to be Mike Trout or Mookie Betts. And so when you see some of these, you know, remember that, you know, this is accounting for the probability of injury. It's accounting for the probability of Gary Sanchez doing what he did last year, etc. And so, you know, we should some of these might seem a little bit low, but they're really not. I want to go and talk about Gary Sanchez as the first player. He's projected to hit 254, 333, 474, 3.5 wins, above average on defense, 29 home runs. So, Paul, I want to ask you, over under on the 29 home runs for Gary Sanchez. What's he going to hit?
All right, I'm going to say over.
Okay, how many home runs do you expect Gary Sanchez to hit?
How many do I want him to hit, or how many
do you expect him to hit?
I want him
to hit 60. That'd be great. Yeah,
me
fine.
Too. Boy, oh boy. You know what? There is the part of me that says, I hope he wasn't who he was last year. But if you're a Yankees fan and you have to go into the spring hoping that last year was the greatest aberration in the history of ball players. And so I'm saying 34.
Derek?
I'm over as well. I think he hits 32. I'm going to go with. I'm pretty high on him.
I think there's like an outside chance of just explosive 40 plus home run power, and there's an outside chance that he does what he did last year and becomes a real problem. But I'm leaning toward the 30 plus, especially since, you know, he had an injury last year. Let's move on to, I think, the most interesting Pecota projection. Derek and I have been talking about this one for like a month now since we first seen these. Luke Voit. So Luke Voit is projected, the playing time is a little weird, so I'm not going to look at the counting stats, but he's projected at 279, 350, 505 slugging to be worth about 2.5 wins and only about 450 plate appearances. So that's like 4 wins or so full time. Derek, will you take the over under on the, let's say, 505 slugging percentage?
Oof, that's pretty high. That's I'm going to go under. I'm really enthralled by this projection. It kind of gets me excited about Voit, but I'm going to have to go under. I just think it's too much of a risk to go over on that. And I think he's going to be good. I actually had a little brief blurb about him when Pagoda was out on the Baseball Prospectus site, just kind of raving about this ridiculous projection. But I'm going to have to go under. I'm not quite as high as Pagoda is on him, but it definitely kind of upped my expectations a bit.
Paul?
You have to go under. Pagoda's only giving two other Yankees 500 or better, and that's Stanton and Judge. There's no way that Luke Voit's in that company.
I definitely think that he's probably going to be under, but I do think there's some outside chance that he's just a real star. I mean, Pagoda is looking at the batting line he put up in a limited amount of time last year and saying, like, you know, the 689 slugging percentage last year was truly exceptional, I think that's just fascinating to look at, and makes me at least excited to see what he can do. I'm kind of with Paul probably.
I got to add too, just the thing that's really interesting about him is that the Yankees coveted him last year, even when he was in the minors with St. Louis. Like, nobody cared about him. He was a quad A slugger. The Cardinals were ready to dump him for Chase and Shreve. And here come the Yankees, who I guess scouted him better than anybody else, and they found a guy they really thought was going to be good. And I think they really believe in him, because otherwise I would think they would try to have found some other first baseman, at least as an insurance policy. But they seem pretty confident in him, and they've already said it's his job to lose in spring training. So,
does Voit have a nickname?
I don't know.
I kind of want to. I don't know what to call him, but I think he needs a nickname. I think grass-fed country boy isn't really good.
Let me
enough.
Check his Baseball Reference page, because that's where the nicknames are usually listed. But I don't see.
I see nothing on the page right now, so I'm right there. So hopefully we can acquire Luke Voit a nickname if he has a good April. But let's move on from Luke Voit. Next up, I'm going to talk about, let's say, Greg Bird. So Greg Bird is currently projected at a 712 OPS, 228, 308, 402. Let's assume for a second that he gets some playing time, so this is kind of in contrast to the Luke Voit one. Paul, do you think that he is better or worse than that OPS?
I think that one's right on. I'm souring on Greg Bird, so I don't even know if we're going to see him in the major leagues this year. He's got to go down to AAA, and he's got to perform well, and I don't know if he's going to do that.
Derek?
I'm going to go over. I don't think it'll be by much. I just think there's a little bit of a bounce back due for him. I don't think he's as bad as he's been the past couple of years and around all the injuries. I am definitely down on him, though. There's no doubt about it. I mean, his bat looks slow. He swings through a lot of fastballs. But I do think he's due for some sort of little bounce back. I don't think he's going to be anything good going forward.
Do you think he makes the opening day roster?
No, I don't think so.
That's the problem. I don't think there's any playing time for him right now.
Well, you know, I think with injury, he still has options. So like Paul was saying, he'll probably go to the minors to start the year. But I think with injuries, he'll be up at some point and get a few at-bats here and there. And, you know, there's a better chance than, you know, I mean, Voit, I'm sure, has a decent bust rate. So if that happens, they're going to have to go to Bird at some point. So there's probably some playing time in there for him this year.
All right. Next up is Gleyber Torres. And I want you guys both to tell me this in addition to the over-under. I don't know if this is an optimistic or a pessimistic projection. So we've got his batting average at 260, his on-base percentage at 337, his slugging percentage at 443, slightly above average defense, which comes out to 2.7 wins. I guess Derek is next. Derek, over-under on that win projection.
It feels about right to me, actually. I definitely wouldn't go under, though, so I guess by default I'll just go over.
Paul?
Did you say Paul, or did
yes,
you
Paul,
him?
Go for it. Yeah. I did interrupt Derek. I am just trying to get this to move along, so yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Derek, for interrupting
you. No,
Paul,
okay.
What do you think?
I think it's way under.
Me too.
Yeah, Glaber's better than 260, 337, maybe not 443, and they're only counting for him to have 20 home runs. I think if that's what the Yankees get out of him, everyone's going to say at the end of the year that was a disappointment, and
this
I don't
seems like
think
Florida
he's going to disappoint.
Right. This seems like the worst possible season I might like reasonably expect out of Gleyber Torres, unless he's injured or something like that. I mean, Gleyber Torres slugged, but 480 was it 80 last year? And, you know, it, coming off an injury, being pretty young, like having some like weird struggles in the major leagues. Like, I think this is, I'd say like there's a reasonable chance that he's the second best hitter on this team next year. Not that he will be, but I'm very comfortable taking the over because there's a huge range of possibilities. He could be a 490 slugging guy. He could be a 450 slugging guy. He could be a 530 slugging guy for all we know. Like, he's totally got those skills.
Part of me says if he hits those numbers, it's strange the Pecota's given the Yankees 95 wins, because again, if he hits those numbers, I think it's going to be a disappointing year, and he's a big guy the Yankees are counting on.
Just wait till we get to the bullpen.
I think all that's right. A pretty good projection, though. I mean, to me, for a 22-year-old guy, I mean, that's pretty good.
But it's worse than he did last year.
It is, but you know, he's still 22, and he never really showed power like that in the minors. So I think Pecota is kind of accounting for that.
So let's move on to Miguel Andujar. So Miguel Andujar has a very pessimistic projection, and podcast listeners know my thoughts on Andujar, so I'm not going to say anything. 273, 320, 464, negative 7 runs on defense, which all comes out to 1 win. Paul, over under 1 win on Andujar?
Over.
How? What part of this projection do you believe is most wrong?
I'd love to say the defense. Losing, being negative 7 is awful, terrible. I don't know if he's going to be that bad. But I also think he's a better hitter than they're giving him credit for. A much better hitter.
Derek?
See, I think the defense projection is actually too nice. But I also think the offense is probably selling him a little bit short. So
he was negative 15 runs
last
year.
Exactly, yeah. I don't see him getting that much better. I'm pretty pessimistic about his defense. But I do think he'll hit for more power than what he's getting credit for right now. I mean, I think his isolated power was over 200 last year. I think it was like 230 or something between his batting average and slugging, and now it's under 200. I mean, I think he's got a lot more power than what Pecota's giving him credit for.
Yeah, I think I'd take that hitting projection and I'd add a few points of, I'd add like 20 points of slugging on top of it, because I'm with you. I think he's definitely got the power. I think that's real. I think that on base percentage of 320 is pretty reasonable. But yeah, that defense projection, I'm pretty sure Andujar is terrible. So
you know,
hopefully he gets better, yeah. but I'm not optimistic. Yeah. Let's move on to some more interesting ones here. All right, so I want to do this fairly quickly. So let's talk about Aaron Hicks. 250, 350, 430 with a 2.2 win projection and another negative 7 runs on defense. Paul, is Aaron Hicks as bad as center field as Miguel Andujar is at third base?
There's not a chance in the world. they rate him worse than Andujar, so that doesn't make any sense to me. And if he's that bad, oh my God, just put Bryce Harper out there.
Yeah, really. I mean, so he was only worth negative. He was worth negative 9 runs on defense, according to Fangraph's measure, last season. Derek, is Aaron Hicks bad at defense, or is this just kind of a weird statistical anomaly?
Yeah, this is actually the first time even noticing this. This is kind of shocking to me. I had just always presumed that Aaron Hicks was a really good defender. This definitely seems like an anomaly to me. I really doubt that he was that bad. That's got to be one of the worst center field or defensive ratings for a center fielder in baseball, I would imagine.
It's pretty bad. The other defensive statistics have him above average. In my mind, like, Aaron Hicks was a slightly above average center fielder. Like, that, yeah. That's been the mental picture I've had. I will say that, like, the thing about outfield defense is that a relatively small number of like, medium to difficult plays determine your fielding average for a year. And those are subject to serious sample size issues. Unlike, for example, infield, where you just see a lot more balls, in the outfield, you know, if you don't catch 5, you know, medium difficulty balls, that's, you know, that could be worth 6 or 7 runs, could really change your rating. And so I would take that Aaron Hicks projection with a grain of salt. Let's move on though, and let's talk about Aaron Judge. So Aaron Judge has a pretty nice 5 win projection. On base percentage 380, slugging 411. Derek, over under on Aaron Judge's wins.
I'm going to go over just because I think his hitting projection is selling him a little bit short. I think he's got more power in there, especially in the home run total. So I'm going to go over. I know that's it's kind of crazy to go over on a 5-win projection in some senses, but I think it's he has it in him.
Paul?
Over. He's got to be over.
I think this is another floor projection to me, right? Like, I think this is as good as he is if he stays healthy. But, you know, he has a reasonable chance of slugging 600+. I mean, if Aaron Judge stays healthy for a season, I think that's what we'll see. It's what we saw before he got injured last year.
He was a 5-win player last year, and he was out for, what, a month or so?
Yeah, he didn't approach 634 plate appearances.
Right.
So good thought right there. Last but not least, Giancarlo Stanton, 4 wins. I'll just say 38 home runs. Derek, over under on 38 home runs for Giancarlo Stanton.
I think it's gonna be a big year for him. I'm gonna go over pretty confidently.
Paul?
I'm gonna go over as well. He's more than a 4-win player, and you know, everyone said he was a creature of habit, and the transition from Florida to New York was a big transition for him. So we have to hope and believe that this is going to be a monster year for Giancarlo Stanton.
All right. Moving to pitching. Luis Severino, 3.55 ERA in 174 innings. Paul, over under on the ERA, 3.55.
He's going to be under that. If the Yankees are going to be successful again, he's got to be better than that.
That's not what I asked. I hope he's better than that.
Listen, it's the spring. We have to all be thinking positively, or it's going to be a long summer.
Derek, what's your read of Luis Severino? I don't think we've talked about him with you, at least we've talked about him on this podcast yet. Is he good? Is he first half Severino or second half Severino?
I think he's definitely much closer to first half, so I'm going to go under. I'm pretty confident that he'll turn around. I mean, he's had all winter to figure out whatever went wrong, and he'll have spring training to work the kinks out too. I feel pretty good about him coming into this year.
I think this is a bimodal projection. I think Severino is either the 2.9 to 3 ERA pitcher that we've seen in the good times, or he's just terrible. I don't think there's any chance he ends up with like just a very good ERA. James Paxton, 3.32 ERA in 156 innings. Derek, over under on 3.32.
I'm gonna go over, but not by I wouldn't say like by a dramatic amount. I would say closer to like 3.5. I think the Yankee Stadium effect is gonna be a little harder on him than you might expect.
Paul?
I'm gonna agree with Derek, but I'm also gonna say that they're projecting 156 innings for him. And I think he goes well above that.
All right. So I'm going to skip the other pitchers who I think are kind of less interesting. They pretty much have established reputations at this point. And let's go to the bullpen. So in the bullpen, the Baseball Prospectus projects Betances and Chapman to be worth 1.5 wins, Chad Green to be worth 1.2 wins, and Britton and Ottavino to be worth a little bit under 1 win each. So I just want to ask you guys, pick one player first, or I'm going to ask you to pick one player who exceeds their projection and one player who does worse than their projection. So let's start with, we'll end on the optimistic note. So let's start with one player who does worse than their projection. Paul, what player do you expect to disappoint here of those five?
Maybe Chapman.
Why?
You know, his
so he's projected at 2.39 ERA, you know, basically the Chapman that we've known for a while.
Right, and people feel that 1.17 whip, which is, I think, probably a little high if he's going to be the great Aroldis Chapman. And he is slowing down. He's getting a little older, and there were times when his fastball didn't have the same zip, and he does seem to get injured. And so if somebody has to disappoint, it might be him.
His control was really a problem last year. I mean, he still had like a sky-high strikeout rate and great FIP numbers and all that. But I'm with you. He didn't feel as safe last year. And I'm not really comfortable projecting him to do the exact same thing all over again. Derek, give me a different player who's not Aroldis Chapman who you expect to disappoint.
I'm going to go Britton. Zach Britton with a K now, by the way. Not Z-A-C-H, Z-A-C-K. So get used to that. Yeah, just watching him pitch last year, his control makes me even more nervous, I think, than, well, maybe not as much as Chapman, but, I mean, he just looked a little bit all over the place to me last year, and I was really actually surprised that the Yankees decided to bring him back over David Robertson, for say. So I'm pretty down on Britton, and that 3.77 ERA for a projection is already not great, but I really don't feel good about him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I'm going to move on to the good news because I've said enough about Britton on this podcast. All right, what player of those do you expect to be significantly better, Derek?
I'm going
to
go Ottavino. I think it's pretty. Low projection for him. You know, it's not a bad one, the 3.67 ERA. But I mean, if this guy is healthy and he's going to be striking out a million batters, and he's going to be a tough guy to face. Walks can be a problem for him, but I'm pretty optimistic about him beating that line.
Paul, give me one player do you think will be better than their projection.
Definitely Joe Harvey. They're projecting his ERA at 5.26, and I know
who's Joe Harvey?
I know it's going to be 5.25, so he's definitely under. You took my guy. I was going to go Ottavino.
Yeah.
I think that's the obvious one. I'll also say Chad Green, 3.21 ERA projected. I know that some of Chad Green's peripherals weren't as good last year as previous years, but I think there's totally a chance that he is as good as we've seen Chad Green over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they are giving him 1.2 WAR, though, so I mean that's why I didn't go there.
All right. Jonathan Loaisiga, Jordan Montgomery, Clint Frazier, none of them have particularly good projections. So of those three, who do you think, those three young Yankee prospect types, who do you think is most likely to have a really good breakout season? To give you an idea, Clint Frazier is projected at replacement level. Jonathan Loaisiga is projected at replacement level. Jordan Montgomery, once he gets back, is projected at replacement level. So of those three, Paul, who do you think could be a very valuable player?
I'm going to go Loaisiga. If he doesn't get hurt, he's got elite talent. I'm not sold on Clint Frazier doing as well as we all hope and dream he will. He hasn't been great when he's been there, and he's had some flashes, but he hasn't been consistently great. We just keep hearing about the bat speed, and it's not really playing its way out there, and he keeps getting hurt, and I'm worried about guys recovering from multiple concussions. So, and I don't think Montgomery's coming back anytime soon. And he's a soft pitcher, so I don't know even how well he's going to do coming back from Tommy John. So the obvious last guy there is Loaisiga.
Derek?
I think Frazier is going to be a lot better than his projection. I want to stay away from the pitchers because it just seems so volatile to me. I just wouldn't even take a chance on picking either of them anyway. But, I mean, when Frazier was healthy last year, if you look at his AAA numbers, they were great. I mean, I think he's ready. It's just a question of, you know, is he going to be all the way back? Will there be any more setbacks? I mean, it sounds like he's cleared for spring training, but I guess you just never know with concussions. It is really scary.
311, 389, 574. He does not like the Red Thunder nickname, as he says on Twitter. Do you like Wildling as a replacement nickname?
As a current HBO employee, I have to say yes. But I actually know, no, but really, I do think it fits him very well.
Derek, as a current HBO employee, how is Game of Thrones going to end?
No, no comment.
That means he knows everybody. Paul?
Yes.
Good nickname, bad nickname?
To be honest, I didn't hear what you said.
Wildling.
Yeah, it's okay. It seems a little like Wild Thing from the Major League movie. So, well, I'll give it a B.
All right. You guys, thank you for joining me. This has been a great episode. I think generally speaking, we are more optimistic than Pecota on the Yankees team, with a couple of notable exceptions. So I think that's generally a good thing. We mostly took the overs on everything. I think we'll just have to wait and see. This has been a great episode. Keep a lookout for next week. We're going to be probably previewing spring training next week. So thank you for joining us. This has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.